So we're glad to have you with us today. And those of you who are watching online, we're delighted to have you with us as well. I'd like for you to be taking your Bibles, if you will, and open with me to the book of Ezekiel. My bulletin article this week was an introduction to this lesson for this morning and also for tonight. And I wanted to share the things with you that were in the bulletin, and then I want us to take a look at the life of this man, Daniel. One of the things I hope we accomplish, and I want you to be thinking about as we go through this, is that the life that God calls us to is not difficult from the standpoint of being hard to understand, what to do and how to go about it. And that part of it is very simple. But it does bring about a great deal of challenges in our life, as it does with every individual who's ever made their mind up to be what God would have them to be. And Daniel serves as an excellent example, and I wanted us to take a look at his life. And I want us to begin by going to the book of Ezekiel, where Daniel's greatness is described for us. And there are three passages in the book of Ezekiel. Two of them are in chapter 14, verse 14 and verse 20. And then the other one is in Ezekiel chapter 20. And while you're turning to Ezekiel 14, Ezekiel and Daniel prophesy at the same time and in the same place. They are both in Babylonian captivity. They are in different parts of that Babylonian empire. But you can tell as you read through Daniel, and Daniel's events are described by being in a certain year of Nebuchadnezzar or a certain year of Darius the Mede, a certain year of the kings of Babylon, and then also the Medo-Persian Empire. And the same thing is said in connection with Ezekiel. He is dated according to those same kings. And you can look at how closely they are in time period. And they are in the same location and in the same place. And that makes these words from Ezekiel all the more significant and important. And if you're reading along with me from the New International Version, I'm going to point out a footnote to you that's in the New International Version, and I want you to be aware of it. But in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, and verse 14, the Bible will say this. God is talking to Ezekiel, and he says, when a country is unfaithful to me, when a country no longer listens to what I say, then even if three individuals were in that country, and he names the three individuals in verse 14, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord. If I'm going to destroy a city or a country because of their sinfulness, even if these three men are there forming a remnant, a small number. You remember, and the picture has taken us back to when Abraham begged for Sodom and Gomorrah. And God came down and said, if there's just a few left, I will save the city. And there weren't even that few number left in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was destroyed. And if these three were in the city that God is going to destroy, one Noah, one Daniel, and one Job, then God says, even then, they would only save themselves. They would not save anyone in their family, and they would not save anyone else in the city. The footnote with regard to Daniel goes to, in the New International Version, an alternate spelling for the word Daniel. And that it becomes Daniel. And the New International Version will point out that this might have reference to another figure who was well known in ancient literature by the name of Daniel, who was known for his wisdom. But as you look further into it, most commentaries will say that doesn't seem likely, because that Daniel was never considered to be one who had a strong relationship or faith in God himself, as this Daniel is described. But in case you wonder, if you look at the footnote, if you're reading from the NIV, I wanted to give you that little bit of information. But let's go back now and let's look at it the way I think it needs to be looked at. And let's talk about Daniel. How great is this man? He's already counted equivalent to Noah and to Job. And this is during his own lifetime while he's still alive. And this by a contemporary who's living at the same time and in the same place as he is. If there were these three, they would only save themselves. The same thing is said, still in the same chapter, in verse 20, where again God says, "As I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could save neither son nor daughter. They would save only themselves by their righteousness." And this describing for us just how great this man Daniel is. Go over to chapter 28. And in chapter 28, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, is talking to the ruler of Tyre, that coastal city. And he says some things about the ruler of Tyre and his pride. And then he makes a statement with regard to Daniel. Verse 28, start with me in verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you are a mere mortal and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. Are you wiser than Daniel? Is no secret hidden from you? By your wisdom and understanding, you've gained wealth for yourself, but not wisdom and knowledge as it applies to God." The question, are you as wise as Daniel? This man Daniel, known for his greatness, there's even some indication that the wise men who came to see Jesus may have been as a result of the prophecies made by Daniel to some degree in the book of Daniel. This man, this fascinating man, Daniel, we all know how great he is. We've heard about his stories. We've heard about him and his three friends all of our life from the very time that we were childhood. From the very time we were children. So what made him great? I want you to read the verse with me. The verse, Daniel chapter 10. The verses are 11 and verse 12. And I want you to read this with me. And I want you to see if you can figure out what it is that made him great. He's seeing a vision. The vision is remarkably like the vision of God that Ezekiel saw. And he sees this vision, and he sees this figure, and the figure is speaking to him. In verse 10, it says, "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, 'Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he said this, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Since the very first day when you set your mind to understand and you set yourself to humble yourself in the sight of God, set his mind to gain understanding and humbled himself before God. Since the first day you did that, I've come to you. I've been sent to you. What's he saying? I want you to take your Bible, not your Bible, your songbook. And I want you to open to a song with me. It's the song that we sang just before the lesson, and it's song number 915. And I want you to take a look at the song with me. You may rest assured I'm not going to lead it. That's already been done for us. But I want you to take a look at this song. When you get there, song 915 is the song, Trust and Obey. I want you to let your eyes go to the bottom of the page, and I want you to see the two individuals who are responsible for the writing of the song. The bottom one wrote the music, and his name is D.B. Toner, or Towner. And D.B. Towner was at a meeting being held Dwight Moody. He was at a meeting being held by him, and he was leading singing for him. And at the conclusion of one of the meetings, a young man stood up and he said, I'm not sure about things, but I know that I will trust, and I know that I will obey. And when Mr. Toner heard those words, or Mr. Towner heard those words, he wrote them down. And he sent them to a friend of his, J.H. Sammis. And he just sent the words, and the words that he sent to him were simply, I'm not quite sure, but I am going to trust, and I am going to obey. And when he got those words, Mr. Sammis immediately wrote down the chorus. He immediately wrote down, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then he got busy and wrote the other verses. Is it that simple? Is being faithful to God, belonging to God, being what God wants me to be, and Daniel's greatness that simple? Trust and obey. It most definitely is. And we're going to look at something tonight, which is the lesson tonight is entitled Trust and Obey, where really, if you understand trust, then obey is not really necessary to repeat. From beginning to end, God says, it's by faith. From beginning to end, it's by trust. And if we live a life trusting him, we will obey. And if we're not obeying, we don't trust. If we're not obeying, we don't believe him. We don't listen to him. And we don't trust him. So it really does come down to being this simple. Since the moment you set your mind to understand, and to humble yourself before God, to trust and to obey. Since that moment, Daniel, I've been coming to you. Let's look at what he did. Open with me to the book of Daniel. Let's read some verses. Let's be reminded just for a second about the life of this man. And we're going to start in Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to start with the first things that are said about him in verses 3 through verse 5, where Daniel is described before he ever leaves the city of Jerusalem while he's still there. This is Nebuchadnezzar's first trip to Jerusalem when he first comes, and he takes back with him captives. And he leaves another king in charge. And things are going to occur over the next few years. But Daniel will already be, along with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, already be in Babylonian captivity. Verses 3 through 5 describe the individuals Nebuchadnezzar was looking for. The king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family, a part of the royal family. And so Daniel, along with some other young men, were chosen. Men who were without physical defect. Men who were handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. And then they were to be taught the language and the literature of the Babylonian Empire. They were assigned a daily ration of food that they were to eat. They were to be trained for 3 years. And then, if they were sufficiently qualified, enter into the king's service. You know the first thing about Daniel. The first thing about Daniel is in verse 8. This young man, don't know exactly how old he was at the time, but old enough to already show a temperament to learn, a desire to learn, an ability to learn. He's already shown that aptitude. And what we know about him from verse 8 is he already has read the law. He already knows what it says. He knows what the food laws are. He knows what God has asked. He knows what God has instructed. He knows God's commandments. But he knows more than just know them. He trusts them. He believes in them. He will hold to them. And so this man says to the individual who's given the orders of what all of these men will be eating, "Do we have to eat that? Can I not eat something else?" "No, you have to eat this. That's the order from the king. That's what the king has ordered. And if I don't feed you this food, then I will be in trouble. This is what you have to eat." Not being heard by the first man, Daniel goes to the next one, the one who is not the superior, but the one who's closer to him. And Daniel, showing wisdom, talks in kindness. He's not angry. He's not upset. He's not throwing a fit. He goes in wisdom and he says, "Do us a favor and put us to a test. Try us for a few days. Let everybody else who wants to eat the food, but allow me and my three friends to eat the food with your vegetables. And let us have those. And compare how we look at the end of the days." And that's exactly what they did. And Daniel and his three friends looked stronger and healthier and better than all of the others. So they were allowed to continue in connection with that diet. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, the Bible says, "These four young men God gave knowledge and understanding to, of all the kinds of literature and all kinds of learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds." And then verse 20, "They were brought in before the king. And when they came in before the king, in every matter of wisdom and understanding, about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole entire kingdom." God bless this man. Why? "From the time you set your mind to understand, and from the time you set your mind to humble yourself before God, from the moment he began to trust and obey, from the moment he began to trust, God came to him." Chapter 2, verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Daniel is informed that all of the wise men are going to be killed. And Daniel, again, in meekness, goes and says, why? And when he's told, he asks for permission. Give us a day. And he goes to his three friends and he says, pray with me. Pray with me that God will make known to us this dream that Nebuchadnezzar has had that he's refusing to tell anyone about. And so they go and they pray. And you notice Daniel's prayer at the end of that time in verse 17 through verse 23, where he prays after God has revealed to him the dream and he thanks God for making the dream known, for God telling him about the dream and what it is that the man had dreamed. And then he goes in to Nebuchadnezzar and he tells him the dream and he tells him the interpretation of it. But when he comes in to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar says, I understand you can tell me my dream. And Daniel's reply is this in verse 27. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asked about. But there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were laying in your bed are these. And he tells Nebuchadnezzar his entire dream. Drop down to verse 47. In verse 47, King Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 46, fell prostrate before Daniel. He fell down on the ground on his face in front of Daniel. And he ordered him to be honored, and he ordered him to be presented with incense. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, says this. The king said to Daniel, surely your God, not you, Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery from the day you sought understanding. From the day that you humbled yourself. Now, all of that may have specific reference to Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. But if you read the book of Daniel, this whole character of Daniel is shown starting in chapter 1. But read with me Daniel chapter 9, starting with verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, the Medo-Persian Empire has now taken over the Babylonian Empire. And in the first year of Darius, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and in ashes. When Daniel was a young boy, before he ever left Jerusalem and went into Babylonian captivity, his prophet was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet who was prophesying before Nebuchadnezzar ever came against Jerusalem. And during the whole time Nebuchadnezzar came against it, and during the whole time of the captivity when all of those that went out of the city of Jerusalem went to Babylon. And Jeremiah was the prophet who was there and who wrote about all that was going to occur and was the prophet that stayed behind and was left and eventually went down to Egypt with the group that was fleeing. And this Jeremiah was Daniel's early prophet. So how does Daniel gain in his understanding? He reads Scripture. And in particular, the book of Scripture that he's reading is the book of Jeremiah. From the time you began to seek understanding, from the time you became serious about opening the Word of God, learning what it said, from the time you learn to trust. And you learn what to trust from that time. And when you humbled yourself to God, and all you have to do is read the rest of the chapter. Because the rest of the chapter is Daniel's prayer. We have sinned. We have here because it's exactly, God, what you said was going to happen to us if we sinned. And we have sinned. And therefore, we are in this place because we have sinned. And we have been brought out of Jerusalem because of our sin. And now we have paid the price for that sin for the number of years that you said that we would. And now, Father, we ask you to forgive us. And we ask you, for the sake of your own name, to take us back. And that's exactly what happens. As this Medo-Persian Empire comes into existence, and a king by the name of Cyrus tells the children of Israel, you can go back home. And so the angel, or the messenger from heaven, comes to Daniel. From the time you began to seek understanding, from the time you humbled yourself to God, from the time you decided to trust and obey, I have been coming to you. Wow. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. But it'll be the challenge of your lifetime to trust and obey. Are you in Christ? You ready to put on Christ by trusting Him and obeying Him? Do you need to come home to Christ? We offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.